Hey everyone. Oh. Hey Jackie.
Hey Elsie.
I'm so used to doing them by myself, I guess. I keep saying the wrong thing. This is Six Impossible Things Before Breakfast, and I have been trying to keep my voice at what I do when I do a solo podcast, because it's much more enjoyable, I think. But I cannot do it when I'm talking to someone. I don't know why. Our last recording, I sound like a chipmunk on Adderall, which I kind of am a chipmunk on Adderall still.
True story.
Okay, so this episode is our A Spot of Tea.
Spot of Tea.
Yes, so I'm going to go first, and I'm doing the TikTok murder, and that is... The victims were Jessica Lewis and Austin Winner. So my sources were Medium.com, the murders of Jessica Lewis and Austin Winner, and The Sun, and lawandcrime.com. So I put a very important date on here. I don't know why.
I mean, you can read it if you want.
I'll do it. I don't know why I put it on here. George Floyd is murdered by police, and Donald Trump threatens military action against protesters. This happened in 2020, by the way, so I know it's going to be hard to go back to 2020 and imagine what life was like.
So long ago.
COVID deaths surpassed 400,000 worldwide. Supreme Court rules that gay and trans workers can't be discriminated against. Danny Masterson is arrested and charged with raping three women.
That bummed me out so bad.
I know, me too. Kurt Cobain's guitar sells for $6 million, and the Golden State Killer pleads guilty to 12 murders and dozens of rape. So, I'm going to start at the beginning of the story because I feel like the true victims of this story get lost in all of this craziness. Of how they were found. So Austin Winter was 27 years old, living with his 35-year-old girlfriend, Jessica Lewis, which, get it, girl.
That's right.
She had herself a young one. Who was the mother of four children. She was described, they were described as a fun-loving couple, and they rented a room from landlord Michael Lee Dudley, 62, for a whopping $1,500 a month. A room. For a room.
Wow. Where do they live?
In Seattle.
Oh, I can see that.
The couple was struggling to pay the large amount of rent, as many were in June of 2020. And this pissed Dudley off. He wanted them out. He claimed that they may have been bringing in criminal activity to his home. But I called bullshit because the only record this couple had were some minor traffic violations. They hardly seemed like criminal masterminds. Unless they were, and that's why they never got arrested. But I don't think so. One reason for his logic was that men with guns had recently broken into Dudley's house and beaten the couple, which sounds super suspicious on Dudley's part for me. On one summer evening, neighbors heard a man shouting, "Just let me leave. Please don't do this," followed by gunshots. Reportedly, the police were called and no one answered the door, so they went on their way, as one does when an alleged shooting victim doesn't answer the door. Fast forward. Picture it. June 2020, the sun is shining and the birds are chirping and we are all in our houses because a deadly pandemic is sweeping through. But we have toilet paper.
Lots of it.
I was busy gaining 20 pounds, faking my way through TikTok, and everyone I know got addicted to TikTok during quarantine. So, of course, Trump is trying to shut down the one thing bringing the nation together, 60-second dances and making fun of him. So it was also a time when people were using the app Randonautica. Remember when that was a big thing?
I don't feel like I do.
Oh, you don't? Well, let me explain it to you.
Please.
It was all over TikTok. Randonautica is an app where you go to an unknown adventure. So basically they tell you to set your intentions and it randomly generates coordinates for you to go seek out and discover something new or something forgotten. So it's like basically they pick some place near you and you go there and you try to find what that place was.
Well, that sounds really fun and exciting.
It does. But there were a lot of people doing like little weird, like, Randonautica sent me here and there was this creepy thing. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
A lot of it was bullshit. But TikTok user Ug Henry certainly found something they weren't expecting on a TikTok that immediately went viral to everyone except Jackie, who has not heard of this. Teens are
I'm a grandmother. I barely had TikTok at that point, if you'll remember.
Oh, that's true. Teens are seen on the rocky shore with the something traumatic, you know, that something traumatic that changed my life check. The sound in the background. near the popular place, Pike's Place Market in Seattle, the teens were hoping to find money when they stumbled across a large black suitcase. So someone in the background yells, "Open it, it stinks, yo." A girl is seen prying it open, or prying the suitcase open with a stick. The caption states, "As soon as she opened it, the smell was overwhelming. At this point, we were getting scared and nervous." Then at this point in the video, a male voice is heard saying, "Okay, she's calling the police to see if we can see if it's an actual dead body or if it's just food." They then show the footage of police cars at the scene. The teens posted this video the day after making the discovery, so the news was already coming out about the suitcase in Seattle. It was human remains, and soon after, the police discovered several more suitcases with more, in different bodies of water.
Whoa.
They were the remains of Austin Winter and Jessica Lewis. King County Medical Examiner's Office stated, based on the autopsies, the victims had been shot 10 days prior to being discovered by the teens. Jessica had been shot 7 times, while Austin was only shot once, which is super weird.
Very weird.
The police identified the bodies and tracked back to Michael Dudley's place of residence, where they found bullet holes and blood in the couple's room that had been freshly painted. With the confidence that only a true piece of shit has, Dudley told them he had somehow cut himself, but he couldn't explain the bullet holes. So he's trying to explain the blood. Not only that, but he moved in a new tenant the very day it is suspected that he shot the couple. She told
what a
police,
bastard.
Yeah, and then listen to what he does to her. She told police that, and why she didn't call the police, who knows? She told the police that when he was moving her in, she noticed he was scratched up and his glasses were broken. And get this, when she walked into her room, she saw piles of dirty clothes with a bloody hand sticking out.
And like, she just is like, oh, this must be normal. Like, what?
Yeah, like, I need to know who this woman is. Like, she's obviously ride or die for somebody she's never met before in her life.
Excuse me, ma'am. Like, the housing is not worth it. I don't care what you have going on.
You got to spend $1,500 a month for this room. Do you really think it's worth it?
Please.
Okay, so I think she helped cover it up. But she says he asked later if he could take her somewhere else while he cleaned up, and she asked what was going on. Dude.
He was probably giving her a fucking deal on that rent. He's like, I'll move you down to $1,000. And she was like, sign me up, bro.
If you don't say a word, yeah. Or if you help me do this. I think she helped him do it, but she hasn't been charged, I don't think. It is believed that when Dudley dismembered the bodies, packed them in suitcases, and dumped them in the water. Oh, that's when he did that. He dumped them in the water. So the police believe there is no way the 62-year-old man did all of this back-breaking work on his own in that short amount of time. They stated that this would have taken a lot of time and effort and emphasizes what a threat to the community he is. So Gina's aunt, Gina Jasky, I think is what it is, said Dudley was a sicko. She also told reporters that sometimes he would break their cars so they couldn't leave. Anytime he got in a dispute with anybody, he would tell them to leave, but then try to lock them in the house.
Ew.
So he was just looking for a reason. He killed a dog in front of them and left the carcass for 3 days to scare them.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that horrible? There's another dead dog in this. I'm so sorry.
No.
I just want to highlight what a piece of shit this guy is.
Okay, I'm sorry that I'm, like, way, like, sad about the dog.
Because, no.
It just,
totally understandable. I hate to write about dead animals. Okay, dead
it's
animals
sad.
And kids really bother me.
Me
okay.
Too.
So they had nowhere to go, and that's why they stayed there, because they were already behind on rent. They had no money. They had nowhere to go. He was telling that guy to leave. Oh, wait. Once an electrician was doing work for him, and plus this was in the middle of the pandemic, they couldn't have gone anywhere if they wanted to.
Yeah.
Once an electrician was doing work for him, and they had a falling out, and he was telling the guy to leave, but he wouldn't let him leave. So he threatened him with a gun, and 911 was called. He also beat a dog to death with a hammer for killing chickens and left it there for the other dogs to look at. Like, the other dogs had any clue why that dog got beat to death.
That's the... I'm so depressed.
He gets worse. His ex-girlfriend stated that he violently assaulted her in 2016, and he was arrested and charged with this. But this is nothing compared to what he did to his own daughter. In 2018, she filed for a restraining order after accusing her father of drugging and raping her from the ages of 10 to 18.
Oh.
The court denied her request, saying this allegation and relationship of the party does not meet the definitions in a sexual assault petition.
These
allegations fall under domestic violence. So I think she got caught up in red tape, basically. They should have just changed it. He was arrested.
Like, oh, this is fine.
Yeah. Well, they're basically saying, hey, you got to go do something else. You know how the court, like, if they always want to give you a runaround when you do anything. It's bullshit. He was arrested and charged with two counts of murder for the deaths of Jessica and Austin. And as of March 2021, he was awaiting trial. So Jessica's aunt pleaded for the TikTok to be taken down. TikTok said it didn't violate terms, but eventually the video was taken down, although it's unknown whether it was taken down by the user or TikTok itself.
Okay, I'm sorry, but like TikTok will literally take anything down for any fucking reason. So the fact that they wouldn't do that is such horseshit.
They will never take down. Like, I've seen so much gross shit on that app. There's been child porn on that app that took forever to be taken down. I think as long as their numbers are going up, they just don't give a shit.
Like, I've had friends on TikTok get banned for literally no reason. Like, people will get mad and, like, report them for nudity when there is no nudity, and then they get totally banned from the app. That's happened to, like, more than one person that I know.
Right. Or they'll, like, say it would threaten a child or something when it didn't have anything to do with the child.
That's just, and then they leave something like that up, and it's just like, okay, TikTok. Why don't you go fuck yourself?
Oh, no, you're fine. That's the story behind the TikTok suitcase murder.
Well, I had literally never heard that, and I am, like, baffled by this entire thing.
I know, it's crazy.
So I'm fixing to take you in a totally different and unknown direction.
Hopefully there's no dead dogs.
No, not that I could find or read about. So, I mean, there is death, but no dogs that I know of.
That's fine, then.
Okay.
We talk about death all the time.
We really do. So I'm going to be doing the 1814 beer flood as I drink a beer. So.
Of course.
In 1809, Henry Mewkes, owner of Mewkes Brewery, which was one of the largest breweries in London, purchased Horseshoe Brewery. Mewkes Brewery only made one style of beer, and that was a porter. Developed in 18th century London, porters were like all the rage. So they are similar to a stout, which is like a really strong beer. Porters are dark in color due to the use of brown malt in the brewing process. And at the time, it was considered like very in vogue for breweries to have these enormous vats of porter on display. And like the bigger, the better. So it was especially big in London since it was created there. And it was almost considered like an attraction at the breweries. So like you would specifically like go to breweries to see these enormous vats. So needless to say, Horseshoe Brewery had massive vats because, you know, competition was stiff and they wanted to draw people into their establishment. Now, Horseshoe was located in St. Giles Rookery. And if you are like me, you might be wondering what the fuck is a rookery. And for some reason, I thought it had something to do with birds. So I did us all a favor and I googled it.
Or chess or something.
Well, I found out that it can, in fact, refer to a colony of birds.
Oh, you're smart.
But in the context of, you know what? I think I learned it from Harry Potter. I think that they called where the owls were a rookery. Isn't that true?
I thought they called it an owlery, but I'm
maybe
not
they did. Maybe it was in Game of Thrones then.
Oh, maybe.
So, anyway, it can refer to a colony of birds, but in the context of our story, it's going to refer to an 18th to 19th century term for, like, a slum.
Okay,
so,
gotcha.
The occupants of rookeries were usually immigrants, criminals, sex workers, and just generally the poor. They were typically areas filled with factories and other quote-unquote undesirable jobs. Rookeries were densely populated, and the buildings were often not up to code. And so now that I've set the scene for you, let's continue our story.
Okay.
On Monday, October 17th, 1814, at around 4:30 p.m., George Crick, who was the storehouse clerk for Horseshoe Brewery, was making his rounds for the day. George, who had been with the company for 17 years, was inspecting a vat when he noticed that a 700-pound hoop on one of the casks had slipped off. No big deal. George knew this happened like a few times a year, but to be on the safe side, he brought it up to his boss, who told him that, and this is a direct quote, no harm whatever would ensue, and suggested that he write a letter to a fellow brewery employee who could fix it. So George finished up his remaining tasks and then sat down to pen the letter. And at 5:30 p.m., envelope in hand and off to the post office, George heard an incredible explosion.
Oh, God.
The vat with the broken hoop had burst, setting off a chain reaction. The force from the initial cask exploding, which, by the way, was holding the equivalent of 1 million pints of beer.
Oh my gosh.
Caused other nearby casks to explode, unleashing 570 tons of brown, sticky beer. And I just want to go ahead and say, like, that the vat that broke at Horseshoe that day was not even their largest vat.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
And port is like a stout.
Yeah, it's like very heavy and dark. So, the result was a tsunami measuring 15 feet high, overtaking the surrounding streets. Now, as I said, Horseshoe Brewery was located in the St. Giles Rookery, so there were a ton of homes and apartment buildings in the area filled with many people. And on that particular day, most people were just going on about their typical day-to-day activities. One of those people was Eleanor Cooper, a 14-year-old servant at a nearby pub. She was outside at a water pump scouring pots when all of a sudden the force from the explosion of beer caused a brick wall to collapse, crushing Eleanor and killing her instantly.
Oh my gosh.
So, this, like I was mentioning earlier, because it was kind of like a slum, the streets around St. Giles like had absolutely no drainage. So the massive amount of beer, having nowhere else to go, flooded straight into the nearby homes and businesses. Residents scrambled, desperately climbing furniture, trying to stay above the rapidly rising beer that had infiltrated their homes. But unfortunately, most of the buildings could not withstand the sheer force of the tidal wave and collapsed. Over on New Street, which was a nearby street, Anne Seville and several others were gathered in her cellar apartment mourning the death of her son, 2-year-old John, who had died the previous day.
Oh my gosh, this is heartbreaking.
It's so sad. Anne and 4 other mourners present, including Elizabeth Smith, Catherine Butler, Mary Mulvey, and her 3-year-old son, Thomas Murray, tragically died.
Oh my gosh.
On the other side of town, Mary Banfield and her 4-year-old daughter, Hannah, were sitting down to their afternoon tea when the beer flooded into their apartment, sweeping Hannah away and drowning her. Another little girl, 3-year-old Sarah Bates, was also killed. And it wasn't... Yeah. It was not, like, super clear under what circumstances that she died, but it did say that she also drowned. So
we're talking about how we don't like dogs or kids.
I know, and then I've got kids.
Yeah.
So, and I'll get into like why it was that way in just a little bit. But there were many others who were swept up in the beer, including one American traveler who lived to tell the tale. And he was quoted saying, and this is going to have a lot of old-timey language, so bear with me. I mean, it was 1814 after all. Okay. All at once, I found myself borne onward with great velocity by a torrent, which burst upon me so suddenly as to almost deprive me of breath. A roar as of falling buildings at a distance and suffocating fumes were in my ears and nostrils. I was rescued with great difficulty by the people who immediately collected around me and from who I learned the nature of the disaster which had befallen me. An immense vat belonging to a brew house situated in Banbury Street, St. Giles, and containing 4,000 to 5,000 barrels of strong beer had suddenly burst and swept everything before it. Whole dwellings were literally riddled by the flood. Numbers were killed, and from among the crowds which filled the narrow passages in every direction came the groans of sufferers.
Golly.
So, after this, the initial flood, there were like numerous rumors floating around that, you know, hordes of people ran to the streets, scooping up beer into whatever containers they could carry. And they even said that some people resorted to drinking it straight off the ground, leading to many people being hospitalized for alcohol poisoning.
Okay, so I was going to say this before, but it seemed way more vivid. Now you've given me an opening.
Say it.
Can you imagine if you were like, picture some like, alcoholic guy who's down on his luck and doesn't have any money, and he's like, God, please,
I just send me beer.
And then it like comes rushing toward him. He's like, oh shit.
I'm picturing like Barney Gumble from The Simpsons.
Yes.
Okay. So those were the rumors that were floating around at the time. However, contemporary historians say that those claims are false. St. Giles at the time was full of Irish immigrants, and English papers at the time would not have been kindly about that. Like, there was tension between the English and the Irish.
Right.
So the fact that there were no newspaper reports of any debauchery suggests that that never happened. In fact, according to numerous articles written at the time, residents acted with admirable calm and bravery and stayed very quiet so that they could hear the cries of those trapped in the rubble in order to save them. In all, 8 people were killed that day, with many more injured. Most of them were women and children, and that's because the vast majority of the population of St. Giles were working class. So men and boys of age were all off at their jobs when this happened, leaving mainly women and children.
I'm honestly shocked it wasn't more.
Yeah, I know. That's what I thought too. Like, and I didn't, there weren't very many reports of like, just like random injuries. It was, they mainly all talked about the deaths. Cause I mean, of course, but like, I was surprised that only 8 people died too.
Right. It seems weird.
It does. So you might be wondering what happened to Horseshoe Brewery. Well, after all of the beer was mopped up, they did just fine. And this whole next part is a direct quote from an article. They received a waiver from the British Parliament for excise taxes it had already paid on the thousands of barrels of beer it lost, meaning they didn't have to pay taxes on the equivalent amount of beer it brewed in the future. End quote. So, all those people whose homes were destroyed and whose loved ones were lost, they received absolutely jack shit. Jurors ruled that the incident was an act of God, and Horseshoe Brewery was not responsible for any of the damages. So they didn't get any help paying for their homes or funeral costs. Nada. And that is the story of the 1814 beer. Right?
I mean, it was obviously their fault. How could it not be?
Well, I don't understand how, like, you have this man, George Crick, who goes to his boss and says, oh, hey, boss, this huge-ass hoop is off the cask. Maybe we should do something about that. And then the guy be like, nah, it's fine. And then this happens, and then they're not responsible. Of course they're fucking responsible.
Right. That's crazy.
It pissed me off when I read that.
It kind of reminds me of, like, Mulholland Drive in L.A. Like, they used to, it's a long story, but basically they built this water, like, systems to get water to L.A. or whatever, and there was, like, a broken piece on it or something, and they ignored it, and it flooded there, too. Like why would you ignore that?
Right? Like, you're just leaving it there in hopes that nothing happens.
Right.
So, I've got my sources here, too. I used SmithsonianMag.com. This 1814 beer flood killed 8 people by Kat Eschner. History.com, the London beer flood by Christopher Klein. And Zethophile.com, remembering the victims of the Great London Beer Flood 200 years ago today by Martin Cornell.
That was a good one. It was very sad.
It is very sad, but also, like, something about food and drink related things is, like, fascinating to me.
Oh my gosh, I want to do the maple syrup one too.
I looked at that one too, because I was like, I don't know. There's something about, like, large quantities of food and drink that are just like, how does this happen?
Oh, Vicky sent me a Facebook message, or not, a Facebook link the other day. And it was like, in Conway, where we used to live, there was a truck that went into Lake Conway, and it was full of ramen noodles.
Conway, Arkansas, for those of you who don't know that, that's where Elsie used to live.
You can search it up if you want to, but it's so funny. Like,
ramen noodles.
tons of ramen noodles. Daryl goes, I bet they lost about 79 cents.
Well, you can go to the store and get ramen rich for like a quarter.
It's so funny.
Okay, we need to do our question.
Yes.
So, I got to pick the question this week, and my question is, what kind of ghost do you want to be? If you were a ghost, that is.
Okay, so mine is probably not going to be as exciting as it should be, but I would like to be the kind of ghost, like, I've always wanted, like, a sign from my loved ones who have passed, or, you know, like, you always hear these things, like, oh, every time I see a butterfly, it's my mom, or, you know, like, something like
that.
And I want to be one of those kind of ghosts.
See,
leave signs for people that I've left.
I don't want to be, like, a mean ghost. Like, I don't want to terrify you and make you leave your home, but I, like, want to be, like a mildly inconvenient ghost. Like, where, like the ghost in my house, which I think I told this story to you, that stole Matt's glasses. Like, that's the kind of, or, well, I guess didn't steal them, but put them back where they were. So, okay, for everybody listening, the other day, Matt set his glasses on the dresser. My husband, yes. So, like, he's got this dresser next to his bed, and he always sets his glasses there after we lay in bed and watch TV before we go to sleep. And so he always takes his glasses off and sets them on the dresser. And I've got this table next to my side of the bed, and I set my glasses there. Well, the next morning he woke up and he could not find his glasses. And we were like, okay, maybe one of the cats, like, got up there and knocked him behind the dresser or knocked him into a drawer, because Matt is notorious for leaving drawers open like a douche. So we literally ripped the drawers open, took everything out, looked all over, took all the stuff off the top of the dressers, couldn't find it, pulled the dresser away from the wall, looked behind it, couldn't find it. And, like, that night, I remembered this saying that my mom used to say, which is, Saint Anthony, please come around, something's lost and can't be found. So I decided, which, by the way, Matt was in the shower when I was doing this. I decided to, like, say that to myself and, like, look one more time, because I was just like, they've got to be somewhere. Like, where the hell else could they be? So I'm, like, muttering this to myself like a crazy person, looking around. And then I stand up and his glasses are literally sitting on top of the dresser after we had looked on top of that dresser, like, I swear to you, 25,000 times. And we both were like, what is going on? It was so weird. But that's the kind of ghost I want to be. Like, I want to be kind of like a annoying slash helpful ghost.
That would be fun. Let me tell you about my story that's like that. Please do. I was sitting on my bed and I was vaping because I vape. So sorry if that offends you. And I got up. I went to the bathroom. I came back and my vape was gone. It was nowhere. I searched everywhere. I searched on the table, in the table, around the table, around this. And I thought, well, maybe it's just, and I have ADHD. So I have this thing called object permanence. If it's out of sight, out of mind, it's just lost. And so I had a backup. So I just used that and kind of forgot about it. And then I cleaned under my bed, never found it. I figured it was under my bed. Like I flung it when I got up or something. And it fell. Never found it. I've cleaned my room 1,000 times since then. It's never been found. It's just gone.
Totally gone. That's so weird.
And then it was brand new. So then I had to go back to the vape shop and be like, I need to get another one.
See, and if I were your ghost and I were haunting your house, I'd put it somewhere crazy, like your underwear drawer, just to be funny.
Like the freezer.
Or the fridge, yes.
All right. Well, we've gone pretty long on this one. Longer than our rabbit hole this month, but that's okay. We will see you guys next week for a sixlet. We'll talk to you later. Bye.